can remember when I was a kid visiting my great Uncle Joe in Greenwood, Arkansas, who had as a hobby amateur radio, also known as ham radio. I remember strolling past his makeshift closet turned Radio Shack next to his bedroom in the back part of the house and hearing all the funny sounds of frequency tuning and voice modulations that sounded to me a whole lot like the communications I'd seen in the movies, you know, with the fighter pilots. Or since I was into Star Wars, it reminded me of the radio chatter between the X-Wings and the Y-Wings during the big Death Star battle scene. Those of you who've seen the movie know what I'm talking about there. But it was always intriguing to me. He'd often invite me to sit with him at the desk next to his old Kenwood HF radio, TS-440S for those enthusiasts out there. And, next to that, he had his Morse code equipment and a map on the wall with pins, thumbtacks identifying all the different states and countries he'd communicated with and, would mail his QSL postcards to. His call sign was NR5H, Operator Class Amateur Extra. And if you look up that call sign now, I think it's since been reissued to somebody else since it's been several years since my Uncle Joe passed away. But at the time, that was his call. He always had several friends he'd touch base with every night. I'm not even sure where in the world they were all located, but he really enjoyed the hobby and something he'd held on to ever since his World War II days as a radio operator. And you know, as a kid, it's something that always captured my interest and attention whenever we went over to visit. Eventually, as a teenager, I decided to study to take the technician class exam to get my own ham radio license. One summer, I went up to Greenwood and spent a couple weeks with my Uncle Joe along with my ARRL license manual for him to tutor me and help me understand the basics. After that, I passed my exam and got involved with the local ham club in my own hometown, whereas my uncle was into the long-range HF bands. All the locals, as far as I was concerned, made use of the shorter range VHF bands with the repeater towers positioned around the state to bounce off of. So here I was, a 17 or 18 year old, hanging out with a bunch of old timers and retirees who would meet up every week at the local Hardee's there in Heber Springs for breakfast and coffee to talk radio. I was by far the youngest one in the room, but I'll tell you, I soaked it up and I learned so much. I appreciate all those guys and the time they gave to invest in me. After high school, though, and for the next 20 years after that, I'd say the hobby took somewhat of a back seat as I focused on other things, life and career. But I did keep my license renewed with the plans to one day get back into it. One of the occasions I'd always pull out my radio for was severe weather. Being in Arkansas, we are in tornado country, and one of the big benefits of ham radio is the emergency preparedness factor. Whether that's storm chasers reporting on real-time conditions of tornadic activity, or even in the aftermath when phone lines and cell towers go down, it's the ham radio operators who are able to supply emergency communications to those who need it. So that's one reason I keep my radio nearby. But also for just emergency communications in general. As you know, cell service doesn't extend everywhere. In fact, just last weekend, I went on a backpacking camp out with two of my sons and their Trail Life Scouting Troop. It was in the Ouachita National Forest, a few hours away from the church where the troop is based. We parked our vans at the start of the trail off the highway there, several miles from the nearest town, and hiked our 3 miles to our campsite. There was absolutely no cell service in the spot we were at with all the high and low terrain. But before the trip, I went ahead and programmed into my radio the frequencies for the different area repeaters as a just-in-case precaution. And as it turns out, it's a good thing I did, because we experienced our own emergency situation on the trail. After our first night at camp, one of the boys stepped into a hole hidden beneath some of the leaves there and twisted his leg up pretty seriously, leaving him in no condition to walk. His troop leaders and fellow student trailmen immediately jumped into action and made a stretcher out of a tarp and a couple long branches. But of course, the 3 mile hike we'd made the day before was not level terrain by any means. And at one point, requiring the crossing of a running stream, so they all had their work cut out for them to carry him back out. In the meantime, while the guys started their hike back to the highway, carrying the boy on the stretcher, knowing that that process would itself take close to an hour, it was important we try to call for help, so that help could meet them as they resurfaced from the trail. But of course, there was no cell service. So I pulled out my trusty ham radio, and with another fellow ham who had brought his radio along, we set out to climb a nearby ridge to try and get line of sight signal with one of the repeaters. It took us several attempts and searching for the right spot, but finally finding a decent clearing and a fallen tree that we were able to climb up onto to get the best elevation, we made contact with a ham radio operator in nearby Hot Springs Village, 147.015 megahertz, station W5HSV. So shout out to K0TXT, Jim of Hot Springs Village, for answering our call for help. He was able to call dispatch and have first responders meet our guys on the trail before they even finished their 3 mile hike back. They were then able to transfer the boy in the proper vehicle and get him safely to the hospital, but the radio system worked precisely as it needed to work. Believe it or not, not a few hours after that, another fluke accident happens with another one of the scouts. This time, while exploring the stream, another boy loses his footing on a slick rock and falls, breaking his arm. I tell you, it was totally coincidental and a freak mishap. Our guys are usually quite careful and follow proper safety practices, but for whatever reason, here we've got a second injury in the same day. Once again, our leaders and trailmen jump into action. They make a temporary splint and sling out of a few sticks, a piece of hard plastic from the frame of a pack, and some cloth material. And it's another hike back to the highway for yet another group, and another hike up the ridge for me and Bill, our other ham. We make contact again with the local repeater we connected with before. The operator there, out of Hot Springs Village this time, instead of calling dispatch, he serves as a third party communicator, and calls our troop master, who is, remember, still at the hospital with injured boy number one, to let him know about injured boy number two. So transportation arrangements are made for boy number two, and he also is safely taken to the hospital. But folks, these kinds of things you just can't anticipate. But you know what? You know what? With a little forethought, they can be planned for by practicing old-fashioned emergency preparedness. Be prepared is the old scout motto, right? Actually, the motto for our Christian Trail Life Troop is walk worthy. But certainly walking worthy includes walking in wisdom and good judgment. And yes, part of good judgment is planning ahead and even preparing for the possibility of crisis situations. And the examples I've given are obviously just a few examples. There are so many different situations in life that can result in a far better outcome than they would otherwise for those who encounter them when they aren't totally caught off guard by them. In terms of emergency communications, something as simple as a ham radio can make all the difference in coordinating the help that you need. Of course, in a non-emergency situation, you have to be licensed to use one, but in a true emergency, you don't even need a license. According to the FCC rules, Title 47, Part 97, Paragraph 403, quote, no provision of these rules prevents the use of an amateur station of any means of radio communication at its disposal to provide essential communication needs in connection with immediate safety of human life and immediate protection of property when normal communication systems aren't available. So there you have it. Anyone can use a ham radio in an emergency. Granted, it's kind of important you know how to use the radio and how to actually make contact with another person. Often, ham radios have to be programmed in order to connect with area repeaters, so my best advice is if you're going to get the radio, you might as well go ahead and get the license to go along with it. But long story short, ham radio can make all the difference. whether it's on the trail or for advanced warning of a tornado or even in the aftermath cleanup of a tornado or in 101 other applications. So that's my plug for ham radio. It's a wonderful hobby and a wonderful preparedness tool to have in your arsenal. Well, I hope this episode was helpful to you in some way. I encourage you to stay tuned for more episodes to come. Until then, God bless, and thanks for listening.